Hello, this is Mama Bird coming at you from bumfuck nowhere, Pennsylvania, bringing you the Sucker for Pain Tattoo Podcast.
Hello, this episode is going to be a little bit more of a somber one. I'm going to be calling this segment, Deceased Clients. I was recently thinking about, the fact that I recognize tattoos, but I often don't recognize faces. And honestly, like, if somebody comes up to me and they start talking to me and they're like, oh, I know you, you did this tattoo, blah, 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 I'll be like, I don't know, until they whip out the tattoo, you know? And in any tattoo artist's defense, honestly, most of the tattoo or face is in whatever body part you're getting tattooed, you know? So if I'm tattooing a forearm, I'm not really looking at your face, I'm looking at your forearm. So, I want to tell a few stories. I think I want to start with, probably the one with a friend of mine. Actually, it would have been a friend of mine's mom. She was an old biker, and her husband, my friend's dad, and they had wanted a lot of tattoos, but they had absolutely no money. And when I had first started apprenticing for the first place that I had apprenticed for, she was one of my first tattoos. She actually got from Blue Oyster Cult, I believe it was, the Cross of Confusion, and she got it huge. It was so big. It was the biggest, like, first tattoo I had done. It was so cool. But she had passed away this year. And probably about a year and a half ago, I would say. And then her husband followed about a year after, I want to say a couple months ago, like maybe 6 months ago. And that was very sad for me to lose them, you know. They were always a big part of my life, you know. There was another one that I did want to talk about too. That was a sad loss for me, it really was. But there was many small stories. Honestly, with her, I had actually, I had done a lot of piercings before I had started tattooing. I remember when she was living in the projects, out in bumfuck nowhere. Yeah, we have projects too, for the poor people. But they had nothing. When they were older, they had nothing. So I was at their house a lot. I hung out there with them. And I had actually pierced her nipples for her. She was a lot older at this point. She was probably 50 when I pierced her nipples. And she breastfed two kids. And let me tell you, oh my God, that was the toughest pair of nipples I have ever pierced. They were like, it wasn't even like piercing beef jerky. I have nothing to compare it to. It was literally like trying to cut through a freaking 2x4 with a piercing needle. It was ridiculous. But she was a trooper. She got her nipples pierced. It was good. So, the second story I wanted to share was the last shop that I had worked at. There was this guy that, it was a tattoo shop, and almost like a strip mall, almost. And the way that this area is set up, because it's more rural, we have different, like, things are set up different, like, the things that you wouldn't expect. Like, we have, in one of our malls, we have a surgery center. Yeah, it's different. But, I mean, it's just, like, everybody's so broke in this area, like, you gotta do what you gotta do. Like, everything's different here, you know? But, yeah, we had the tattoo shop in the little strip mall, and in this strip mall there happened to be a music store, and there was an older guy that ran it. He'd been there for years, that the next thing, and we had really developed like a really great friendship. He was a really cool guy. He probably went about 300, maybe 350. He was pretty tall, so he was a big dude, but he was so jolly. He was such a nice man. He went by Bundy. And he used to poke his head in the tattoo shop, and he would watch the front door of the music shop when he was standing in the door of the tattoo shop, and we'd stand and bullshit. It was so cool. But yeah, he was another great loss. I mean, I've lost many people over the years, but it's very strange for me to think about, like, because when you're doing a tattoo, to me, it's almost like you're giving something life. Like, you're giving that picture on someone's skin life. You're physically putting something into someone's skin that's going to be alive when you're done, you know? It's almost spiritual. It's a beautiful feeling that I can do that for people, you know? So, I've been thinking a lot about the last shop that I really worked at and, you know, the people that I had lost over the years, and I wanted to mention a few people that I'd really loved over the years, but I really wanted to talk about this girl that I had met while working there. She was probably, I had only just met her and I can't remember her name, but I can remember her face like it was yesterday. And it was a really, really good tattoo. She came in, and I want to say she was probably between 28 and 30 years old, maybe 31. Very thin girl. Naturally, you would think that she was on drugs, this, that, the next thing, but she was not, like, she wasn't picked apart, she had no track marks. Like, she just looked like this girl, like, she looked much older than what she should have been. You know, like, she was anxiety-ridden for many years. And as I did the tattoo on her, which I think actually that day I made, this is a long time ago that I'm recounting, over 10 years, but, I think she had me do two small tattoos that day, and she was so happy, like, it was, like, she was, like, radiating, because she had been so proud of herself. She came in with her mom, and as we tattooed, she started telling me her story. She had been a survivor of abuse, and she had just gotten out of this relationship with the father of her children, and he just mentally, verbally, physically, every kind of abuse you can imagine, he totally had 100% control of her, and she finally had gotten rid of him and moved away, and she was safe, and it was good, and she was so happy. She had cut her hair off. She had this really cute, she had a blonde bob. It looked cute on her because she was pretty, like, really pretty thin. So it looked good on her. Like, she looked like she was trying to help herself. It was really good. It was really good. Told me about her kids. It was great. And she wanted more tattoos, and she was finally free. You know, like, she was so happy she was free of this burden and this man that was so awful to her. And that day, like, I mean, we really hit it off, and back then, you know, it was MySpace, and Facebook was just a new thing, and, you know, we hit it off to the point where I added her right away, and, like, it was cool. And, well, I want to say about a week later, and this is what happens, and this is scary, but this is true, this is what happens in small areas. Things got around that there's two sides of the story. There's the police report and there's the actual story. And what had happened to this poor girl, and I hadn't even known it was her that had passed away, but what had happened was the actual story, not the story that the police gave to the paper. He had ran her off the road. He ran her off the road. The kids weren't in the car. He ran her off the road. She died. She died. Like, on impact, she was dead. And if I remember correctly, she couldn't even have an open casket. Like, she was mangled. He ran her off the road, and he made sure she was gonna die. But he was never charged. But, it was so somber, because I'd really, really hit it off with this girl. I really liked her. And then she was dead, you know? A few weeks later, you know, her tattoo appointment came around. It was a really, really, really somber day, because this girl that I had hit it off with, like, she was so wonderful. I was so proud of her right off the bat. So proud of this girl. Like, you did it. You go, girl. And then she was gone, you know? And that's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. And that kind of stuff really does happen. It happens every day. You know? It's really strange for, like, from the perspective of a tattoo artist to think of, you know, being so happy about giving life to these tattoos, like I had said, and then, you know, to think of the loss of that life, and to think of, you know, what if the person is cremated and a tattoo is burned up along with the body, or, Like, what happens as that person is in the ground decaying and that tattoo shrivels up and falls off their skin or whatever, you know? It's morbid, but it's something you think about, you know? It's sad. It's really sad. The story is sad, and I don't think I'll ever forget that girl. I really try not to mention names, you know, but I'll never forget her, you know? There will be other stories about other people that have come and gone and passed, but them were three people I was really thinking of today, and honestly, I think of them three people often, you know, because I had really had a bond with all three of them, more so than other people. Like, I had a name to a face to a tattoo with them, you know. Other people I just have a connection with the tattoo, rather, you know. I don't even remember the face, I don't remember the name, I remember the tattoo, you know, which happens sometimes, you know. But them three people I really had a bond with. So, but I'm gonna wrap it up for today so I don't ramble. So I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.